welcome to the 29th episode of Stories We Could Tell, a Mavericks Fancast. I'm your host, Mark Potter. Today, 20 years ago, the Mavericks released their second self-titled album on Sanctuary Records. During this episode, I'll take a look back at this short-lived era in Mavericks history, how I discovered the album, and how it stands up today. But first, a bit of Mavericks-related news. The band performed at the Majestic Theater in Dallas last night, September 22nd. Tonight, the 23rd, they'll be in Helotes, Texas at John T. Flory's Country Store. More dates scheduled from now all the way into the spring of 2024. As always, for more information and links to buy tickets, check out themavericksband.com. Founding member of the Mavericks, currently performing with his band's 67th son, Robert Reynolds, will perform at Streamcliff Herb Farm Restaurant and Winery in Comiskey, Indiana on October 8th. For more information, check out streamcliffffarm.com. Robert Reynolds is also recording a second 67th Son album, which I'm eagerly anticipating, as I've heard some of the new songs performed in concert recently. I cannot wait for that record to come out. I love the first one. I have a feeling the second one's going to be even better, so when that one is available, man, he can have my money before it even hits the mail. Does that make sense? I don't know. Oh, well. And former accordion player in the Mavericks, Michael Guerra, will appear in Harker Heights, Texas tonight, September 23rd, and at the Hayes City Store in Driftwood, Texas on September 27th. For more information on Guerra's current activities, check out the Michael Guerra Fans and Friends Facebook group. And here's hoping that the Nice Calling album will be released sometime. I've heard the singles and love what I've heard. I'm ready for the entire record. For example, here's Lone Star State, released as a digital single in 2022. In the barrios I can't say, I could not find a way. Keep my head above water, not be sunk by the waves. It was one day in, I can't remember exactly, October, November 2003. I was browsing the CD racks at the now disappeared Hastings in Fort Smith, Arkansas, near where I live. It was a long-standing habit, slowly walking around, glancing at the CDs and stocks, searching for something on my want list, looking for a new release. Whether I found something to add to my collection or not, the simple act was, and is to this day, calming. On this particular day, as I came to the Mavericks section, something caught my eye. A Mavericks CD I didn't recognize, and by that time I had all the albums, several singles, stray tracks on soundtracks and tribute records, compilations, I was aware of side projects and solo albums. But this was something new. In the center of the front cover was four silhouettes, photographed in a darkened hallway somewhere. The name of the Mavericks between the silhouettes and their reflection underneath. I picked up the CD, flipped it over, and there were 11 song titles that were completely unfamiliar to me. And there was an unfamiliar face underneath the track list, featured in a photo along with Robert Reynolds, Paul Deacon, and Raul Mallo. Once it dawned on me that I was holding a brand new Mavericks studio album, the first in 5 years since Trampoline in 1998, I immediately headed to the cash register and sat in the parking lot listening to the open track, I Want to Know. Now, surely my memory is fuzzy, because I rarely walked out of a record store with only a single purchase, unless I was so shocked at the unexpected appearance of a new Mavericks album that anything else I may have bought in that moment was forgotten, and my bank account was probably a little happy. So how was I oblivious that a new Mavericks studio album existed? First, for some context, I'll back up to 1998. Trampoline, the fifth Mavericks album, is the point, in my opinion, that the Mavericks allowed all of their disparate influences and musical tastes to break through the surface, and in doing so created not only an artistically satisfying album for the band, but an album that the Maverick faithful took to heart. However, with songs that touched on Latin and blues, pop, rhythm and blues, country, mixed with horns, Gone was the timeless country tinged rockabilly of 1994's What a Crying Shame, an album that found success on the country charts. With Trampoline, the band delivered an album that didn't fit neatly into radio playlists controlled by corporate music programmers, and one that seemed to confuse MCA Nashville when it came time to promote the record. None of the three singles released in the United States charted in the top 40, those being To Be With You, Dance the Night Away, and I've Got This Feeling. While Dance the Night Away did reach number 4 in the UK, and I Got This Feeling also peaked at number 27. However, the success in the UK wasn't enough to sustain the band. Shortly after the release of a compilation cleverly titled Super Colossal Smash Hits of the 90s, The Best of the Mavericks in late 1999, a combination of new tracks and singles, the band went on hiatus or disbanded, depending on which interview you happen to be reading at the time. Citing reasons from exhaustion from a decade recording and touring, to record company pressure to follow a formula that had produced record sales and hits in the mid-90s, the fun was simply squeezed out by the business, and the joy of playing music and being musicians was gone, so the band was put to the side for the time being, at least. Although various band members had been involved in side projects before, between 1999 and 2001, all of a sudden, there was quite an explosion of release of side and solo projects. For instance, Jerry Del McFadden released his second solo album, This Girl, in 1999. His first had been released in 1986, titled Stand and Cast a Shadow. This album included this country flavor track, If Lovin' Is a Sin. Between 2001 and 2004, McFadden was also a member of the band Sixpence None the Richer, a band with Christian leanings that had formed in New Braunfels, Texas, and is best remembered for hits such as Kiss Me and There She Goes. Mavericks guitarist Nick Kane released a solo instrumental album in 1999 called Songs in the Key of E, which opened with a fiery, surf-inspired Dog Eat Dog. Was let go from the Mavericks early in 2000, having served as guitarist for the previous 5 years, In 2000, the band Swag released its only album, The Wonderful Catch-All, with a revolving lineup that included, at times, Robert Reynolds, Paul Deacon, Jerry Del McFadden, Tom Peterson from Cheap Trick, Doug Powell, Ken Cromer. Catch-All was power pop perfection, drawing influences from the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Big Star, the Kinks, among others. Here's a taste of the album opener, Lone, which features Robert Reynolds on lead vocals.
She didn't see it drop. All alone was on the bar. As she watched the napkin fall, she brought a new one.
Robert Reynolds and Paul Deacon also began recording and performing with Kevin Montgomery, a Nashville-based singer and songwriter. Taken from Montgomery's 2003 album, 2:30 AM, here's Tennessee Girl.
My Tennessee girl. Off on the freeway, staring down the big barrel of a little man. So my Tennessee girl, I'm coming home to you. I'm speeding through Texas, trying to outsmart the blues, and I just can't wait to be touched by you. Look into your eyes.
Calling themselves Kevin Montgomery and the Road Trippers, with a lineup of Montgomery on vocals and guitar, the legendary Al Perkins on lap steel guitar and vocals, Mike McAdams on guitar, Robert Reynolds on bass and vocals, and Paul Deacon on drums, they recorded a beautiful live album in Glasgow, Scotland in 2003. Montgomery's father was Bob Montgomery, best remembered as Buddy Holly's partner in the mid-1950s, before Holly would form the Crickets. Paying tribute to a shared love of Buddy Holly and Kevin's father, Kevin and Robert Reynolds led the band through a delightful rendition of Flower of My Heart, a song recorded by Buddy Holly and Bob Montgomery around 1954 and 1955, and first released almost a decade later on the album Holly in the Hills.
I want to play y'all a song now that my dad and Buddy Holly wrote back in the 50s back there in Lubbock, Texas. Robert, will you sing Buddy's part for me, please?
If you'll sing your dad's part.
All right.
All right. Then you got a deal, kid. For a moment, it sounded like the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Hey, Robert, would you sing Buddy's part for me? Why, sure, kid. I'd be most pleased to sing Buddy's part for you. Why don't you sing Mr. Montgomery's part, and we'll have a steel guitar and some fine lead guitar. Put your hands together for the drummer of the Mavericks back there, Mr. Paul Deacon. We're glad to have you at the Glaswegian Opry tonight. Y'all looking mighty fine. This one's called Flower of My Heart, I think.
Robert, will you count this song off for us?
Why, I'd be most pleased there, kid. A one, a two, a one, two.
Thank you.
Raul Mallow became involved in a group called Los Super 7, appearing on their 2001 album Canto. The group was a fluid collective with members from the Texas Tornadoes and Los Lobos amongst those taking part. One track on Canto that Mallow sang lead on was Mi Voy Pa'l Pueblo. I'm probably saying that wrong, but that's the best I can do. And Mallow was quoted in the liner notes saying, although it was written by a woman, it is an incredibly macho song about a man leaving his complaining woman behind to go down the road and party in town. It's always been one of my favorite songs.
Me voy pa'l pueblo, hoy es mi día.
Also turned to producing albums for other artists. One such artist, Rick Trevino, had also been involved with Los Super 7. In 2003, Mallow produced Trevino's In My Dreams. This album featured among its songwriters, besides Trevino and Mallow, former Mavericks sideman Jamie Hanna and Alan Miller, known as the Word Man amongst Mavericks fans, and on one song, Mallow's brother-in-law, Wally Wilson. The only exception to that being the album closer, Have You Ever Loved a Woman, a Brian Adams cover. The album has a Tex-Mex flavor throughout, while displaying the growth and depth of Trevino's vocals and talents. Just take a cruise through his country top 40 hits during the 1990s to hear the difference. Here's one of my favorites from the album In My Dreams, called Beautiful Day.
The morning begins in the right sort of way. Not a cloud in the sun shining bright. What a beautiful day. If the boss man should call, tell him I'll be okay. 'Cause I don't give a damn anymore. What a beautiful day.
Mention must also be made of the Fabulosos, a live band that Raul Mallow performed with in and around Nashville during 2002-2003, a group comprised of studio musicians that helped Mallow focus on his love of music from the 1960s, with their set list drawing from the Mavericks catalog, Mallow's solo album Today, and cover songs from Mallow's childhood in the 1960s. To get a hint on what those shows may have sounded like, simply listen to the first two-thirds of Raul Mallow's 2021 album Quarantunes. And that will give you some idea. Realizing that songs he was writing sounded like they were screaming out for the Mavericks, Mallow reunited with Robert Reynolds and Paul Deacon, and the trio recruited guitarist Eddie Perez to fill what had been a rotating guitar slot for more than a decade. Recorded in May 2003 and released on September 23, 2003 on Sanctuary Records, the Mavericks' second self-titled album started a new era for the band, although one that was albeit a short one, ending less than 2 years later. I Want to Know, Would You Believe, and a cover of The Hollies' The Air That I Breathe were released, music videos were shot, television and radio appearances helped spread the word that the band was back, and a tour was undertaken. So the question remains, why was I so unaware that the Mavericks had reunited and had recorded a new studio album? Well, to be honest, at the time, I wasn't keeping up with the activities of the Mavericks as closely. I wasn't keeping up with concert dates. Thinking back, I was more focused on working, spending time with friends, babysitting my nephew. Along with working at least 5 days a week, sometimes six, my mind was elsewhere. After I bought the Super Colossal Smash Hits compilation in the fall of 1999, for me, the Mavericks fell off my radar. Now, I would give a peek to the wonderful Mavericks website that Chris Swan had created, a website that was a godsend as Chris detailed albums, singles, solo releases, television, radio appearances, videos, live recordings. His site was my guide when I started to really build my Maverick audio collection into the archive that it is today. And without Chris's hard work, my collection would definitely not be what it is. Sadly, his website no longer exists, but it will never be forgotten. Once the band went on hiatus, or disbanded, I never wondered if a reconciliation was possible. I still enjoyed the albums the band had released, along with all of the ancillary releases I had been able to find up to that point. And life went on, until out of the blue, that day in the fall of 2003, I unknowingly walked toward a brand new Maverick studio album. So 20 years later today, as this episode is live on the 20th anniversary of the album's release, how does it hold up? Well, first I'll highlight a few of my favorite tracks from the record. Album opener I Want to Know, written solely by Raul Mello, has always been a favorite. While this song may have been written in the era of 9/11, 20 years later it still stands as not only one of the strongest album openers in the Mavericks catalog, but it also questions the state of society and how people struggle while trying to find answers for themselves and the world around them.
I wanna know what it feels like to be king. I wanna know if children, they don't sing. I wanna know if birds should lose their wing. I wanna know if we do.
Track 2, In My Dreams, co-written by Raul Mello, Alan Miller, and Rick Trevino. Oh man, this song, I mean, everyday struggle, clock in, clock out, dragging through the work for a paycheck, and one thing that makes it seem at least a bit bearable is a dream of happiness, a happiness that may never be found in the everyday, but it provides the motivation to push on.
I used to think I was the only
Five, co-written by Alan Miller, Raul Mallow, and Jamie Hanna, titled By the Time. After listening to this song, I'm left with a question. I mean, is there anyone who hasn't experienced a relationship that was over before the final goodbye was uttered? I can admit that I have a couple of times, hanging on to something that's comfortable, yet running on autopilot with no progress, growth, or future in sight.
Time passes on. time you said goodbye. You had already made up your mind. There was no going back, no second chance, no reason to try by the time you said goodbye. You said goodbye. You said goodbye. You said goodbye.
By the Time is followed by Would You Believe, one of the singles and music videos from the record, co-written by Raoul Mallow and Alan Miller. Now, this is one that I can vaguely recall watching the music video for this song, but on what channel, I can't pinpoint. It's gone with the wind. But this song could possibly be my theme song. Looking at the world with a skeptical eye, not accepting what's spouted by the media at face value with a hint of cynicism, with the knowledge that the only world I can really affect is the one that I'm in contact with, my family, friends, near and far.
Sitting in my easy chair, wondering about what's out there, yeah. Questioning the things I've heard before. Oh. Watching too much CNN, they say the world's supposed to end.
Track 10, Because of You, co-written by Raoul Mallow, Alan Miller, Rick Trevino, and Jamie Hanna. I love up-tempo songs combined with dark lyrics, a dichotomy that has always been appealing. The term lyrical dissonance describes that feeling perfectly, a song where the lyrics and music are at odds, a major layered with a minor, happiness from sadness. The lyrics describe a relationship that has ended, perhaps in divorce. But one person has taken the house, the car, all the belongings, and left the other person with the one thing that cannot be taken, a broken heart, which is proudly held onto. So my final verdict on the Mavericks' second self-titled album from 2003? If I was asked to list my favorite albums in the catalog, without a thought I'd answer What a Crying Shame, Music for All Occasions, and En Español, records where I don't skip a single song that I call perfect albums. Then there's Trampoline and In Time, records where I skip a single track on each. But the Mavericks' 2003 self-titled album, for whatever reason, has always held an odd place for me. It came out of nowhere, and its era was gone in a flash, an anomaly, sitting alone. And listening to it several times in preparation for this episode, I'm struck by not only how unique the production is, the sound unto itself, but looking back in time shortly following the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the album reflects the uncertainty I know that I felt at the time, the unwillingness to blindly believe the popular discourse, the need to dig deeper within myself and without. My final verdict? The Mavericks' 2003 self-titled album belongs next to What a Crying Shame, Music for All Occasions, and En Español as perfect albums in the overall catalog of the Mavericks. And, damn it, I need to revisit this album more. Now, normally here on Stories We Could Tell in Mavericks Fancast, at the end of every episode, I end with a segment called the Mav Song Spotlight, where the guest and myself will highlight any song related to the Mavericks for whatever reason we wish to, and we play clips, we talk about the song. But this time I'm going to do something different. One, I'm here by myself. There's no guest to reflect on the 2003 self-titled record. But what I thought I would do is highlight one of the many radio performances that the Mavericks did during this time, 2003-2004. Co-written by Rao Mallow and his brother-in-law Wally Wilson, the song I'm Wondering, an album track on the 2003 album, was performed live in an acoustic version on radio station WYEP 91.3 FM in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, sometime in 2004.
I see you almost every day. Sometimes I see you look my way. I'm wondering, do you feel the butterflies a little anxious deep inside? I'm wondering, when I see you out with others, oh, friends or lovers. I know it's strange to feel like this. We haven't even shared a kiss. I'm wondering. I can sit and fantasize till fantasy is realized. I'm wondering.
Song gives me a feeling of a romantic fantasy that's harbored for someone from a distance, while it's safer to dream about what might be, held back by uncertainty, anxiety, fear. But what if all that is overcome? But in this song, it never is. And the source for this track is a compilation released by the radio station WYEP in 2005, titled WYEP Live and Direct, Volume 6.
Is this just a should have been? I could have been, I would have been. I'm wondering.
And that brings this episode to a conclusion. My look back at the Mavericks' 2003 self-titled album on Sanctuary Records. If you like to comment, positive or negative, you can write me at mavericksfancast@gmail.com. You can find the home of the podcast at mavericksfancast.podbean.com. If you want to listen to any episodes, simply search for Stories We Could Tell the Mavericks Fancast, and you'll be able to find them on one of several audio podcast platforms. So come along and ride with me and listen to the stories we could tell.
by the ways I live. The name always whispered in every prayer I pray. Now that you left me, why forget me? I hold you. Yes, I hold you. In my, not in yours, in my dreams.